As this is Organ Donor Awareness Month, this topic comes at an incredible time. Recently, I saw a story about organ procurement and exactly what's happening. Is there a black market about it? There's a new book out that is written by Stu Strumwasser. It's called The Organ Broker. It's out by Arcade Publishing. And when he began to do his research for The Organ Broker, he had no idea how big a problem this is or how many people's lives it touches. Every day, 20 Americans die while waiting for an organ transplant. And what Stu is doing is calling on Congress to hold hearings to discern and then implement more modern legislation to address the issues. In the meantime, he's helping spread the word that there are things that you as an individual can do and make a difference right now. The author of The Organ Broker is Stu Strumwasser, and he joins us now live today on WNDB's Mark Bernier program. Stu, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. And Mark, thank you so much for that really lovely introduction, and also for being so informed on the book and the issues. You framed it perfectly.
Well, thank you, sir. I know that you went to Cornell, and then you had dual careers on Wall Street and as a musician, and it kind of caught my attention. How did you manage that?
Perhaps not well enough. I'm a writer, and I wrote, I was the primary songwriter in my band in the 90s called Channeling O. And I wrote the songs, and I also wrote novels, and I studied creative writing at Cornell. But when I left college, I knew I needed a day job to make a living. And frankly, I never had a particular interest in the stock market as much as it was just a sales job where I could make, money. But it turned out to be a great means to an end because, once I built my business a little bit, I had tremendous flexibility. So, I would wake up in the morning, write a song, play the drums, roll into work, lock my door, play the piano in my office, and it served me well. The tough part is that it took four tries at a first novel before I finally sold one. And although I've written four books, the first one that anyone's ever going to read comes out in a week.
Stu, when I talk to people who write things like this, it's usually because the topic, even the sidebar topic, has touched them in a very personal way. Do you know someone, or were you ever involved in trying to procure an organ to live?
I wasn't. It's funny. There's always two questions that I get asked. I've been on this journey now for almost 7 years. And I'm always asked, how did this touch you? Why did you take an interest in this subject? I'll come back to that. The other question I always get asked is, so how do you know so much about this black market? as if the implication is that I might have been a black market organ broker, which I was not. This is not an autobiography. It's just a fictional tale. But as far as, was I touched by this? I mean, I didn't have a member of my immediate family, die on the waiting list. But what happened was I've been fascinated with this subject for a long time, and my interest was much more about the guy than it was about the black market or the social issues. I always thought it was incredibly interesting. I'd read these stories about a transplant tourism director, and I would wonder, who the hell is an American who decides that's the business for me, sending people to third world countries to buy kidneys? And it was on my mind. And then one day I got this, brainstorm about how the format within which to write this story, and I began writing it. But then I started researching it. And as I talked to transplant recipients, and then began to network and talk to most of the leading academics and bioethicists on these issues, I learned about what a huge problem there is here, which I think most of your listeners probably know little, if anything, about. I didn't know anything about it. And the more that I learned, the more upset I got, and the more angry I got, and the more motivated I became to say, if I ever get this book published, I'm going to try to help create awareness around the issues and, see if I can't help a little bit too. So that's where it comes from.
The whole issue that you want Congress to address is what is it that people can't get the help they need? Or do you want to see that people have an opportunity to donate their organs more freely? What is it you want to see happen?
Okay, so there's two different things that need to be changed here. Let me first just give you you know, the kind of frame the question in terms of how big a problem this is. When I started writing The Organ Broker, when I started researching it in 08, 09, there were a little over 90,000 Americans on the waiting list for organs. 7 years later, as it goes to print next week, that list has already ballooned to 124,000 people. As you said correctly, there's about 21 people every single day who die because an organ wasn't donated in time. So that means that this year, twice as many people are going to die in this country as died on 9/11 because an organ wasn't donated in time. Now, if there was nothing we could do about it, you know, well, there's a lot of different illnesses that, you know, result in you know, people dying, and there's nothing we could do about it. This is something that we can fix. So there's two different ways we can fix it. The first way is, what can the individual do? So anyone who's listening to my voice right now, I invite you to please go to donatelife.net. Register to be an organ donor. According to a famous Gallup poll conducted 10 years ago, 95% of Americans approve of organ donation. Most religious organizations approve. Pope John Paul II, you know, said that this is something that all Catholics should do. And yet, only about 45% of eligible Americans bothered to check the box. So that's one big thing that we can do. And it takes 30 seconds. Hopefully it'll never be you, but God forbid if one day, you know, you ended up in that situation, having checked that box might help you save as many as 8 other people's lives. Now, with all of that, I know that's a long speech, but to answer your actual question about Congress, yeah, we sit here and I don't think the government's doing a damn thing about it, and I wish that they would start to pay attention. There's a lot of people dying, a lot of people suffering on dialysis, not being addressed. My solution, as I proposed in Salon.com last year, is three-pronged, and it requires a couple of changes to legislation. Right now, to become an organ donor, you have to opt in. You have to sign up. The opposite is true in 18 countries in Europe, where it's assumed that you're an organ donor unless you opt out. If you don't want to be, you don't have to be.
Wow.
You have to take 30 seconds, fill out a form, and you opt out. And you know how many people bother to? Around 3%. So that gets a lot more people signed up. But the biggest part of the problem is what you said about organ procurement. At the OPOs, the organ procurement organizations, that's where the biggest problem occurs, because even if someone has registered to be an organ donor, and even if it's in a state where it's legally binding, which most states are,
yeah,
every one of these hospitals is still going to go and ask that person's family at the worst time some really tough questions.
Yeah.
Most organs come from people that end up brain dead in a hospital, and then someone from that hospital is going to go ask your wife, brother, kids. He's not going to make it. Can we take his organs?
Yeah.
Some people say okay, and some people don't. And thousands of organs that might have saved lives end up literally going in the garbage. I wish that would change.
Stu, I know a guy who in Massachusetts wanted to donate his body to science and had it all set up so that someone else would benefit. He moves to Florida. And when he did, the deal that he had up in Massachusetts is not valid down here. In other words, he have to make other arrangements. He's got organs he wants to donate, but they won't reciprocate the deal in Florida. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Not that, you know, specific example, but something very similar happens every single day, and it's crazy, Mark. The way I always explain it to people, the analogy I give is like this. I have two 10-year-old twin boys, so could you imagine if someday I was in an accident and I got a brain injury? And once you're brain dead, despite any misconceptions, there's zero chance of recovery. So if somebody said to my kids, you know, he's not going to make it, or your dad passed away. Now, he had a will, and in the will, he said, you don't get his money till you reach the age of 25. Should we honor the will, or do you want us to just cut you a check right now? I mean, obviously, they would respect my wishes in regard to the disposition of my money after my death. The incredible thing is that we live in a country where in most states, you can determine what happens to your money, but not your own body parts. And that seems crazy to me. And so that aspect of the legislative change that I would like to see, it's called binding consent. And it just means that when someone has thoughtfully decided to be an organ donor, and when they've done so in a state where it's legally binding, why are you even asking their family? Why put that horrible duress on these people at the worst time? And why contradict the wishes of the person whose body it was?
We're talking with Stu Strumwasser. He's the author of the book, The Organ Broker. This is a sensitive issue, but I got to ask it. And I know that you probably researched it, and it's probably in the book, The Organ Broker. What about, and this is, it's going to sound tasteless, what about the selling of body parts? There are people who wanted to auction off their kidney. I mean, that's probably wrong for a lot of moral reasons. But is that an issue that actually exists in other countries? Do other countries allow people to sell organs or not?
Great questions. These are not tasteless or unheard of. These are difficult, you know, philosophical and bioethical questions that there are people wrestling with. So let me give you one or two, you know, tidbits of information. In 1986, I believe, it was in the 80s, the U.S. passed a law called NOTA, the National Organ Transplantation Act, and that made it illegal to exchange anything, quote, anything of value for an organ. That law was copied and adopted in almost every country in the world. Frankly, today, for whatever reason, the only country where that's not the case is Iran. Anywhere else, it's illegal to buy a body part or buy an organ. Now, it seems like that, you know, makes sense, and it would be crazy to sell a body part, right? But, you know, you can get money for donating blood. You can get paid to be a surrogate and carry someone else's baby. You can't get paid to sell a kidney, which is redundant. You don't need to. You could save somebody's life. So I'm not suggesting that it should be okay to pay someone, but there are people who actually argue, you know, intellectual academics who argue in this country that there should be a regulated market, or that the government should regulate. For instance, if you become a kidney donor, you should get a tax credit, or perhaps that moves you up the list if anyone in your family ever needed one, that there should be some type of compensation. I don't know if there should be, but I'll tell you what there should be. There should be a lot more people registered, and there should be some modern legislation that helps the conversion rate so that those organs that could save lives don't end up in the garbage. That would fix a lot of these problems. But let me give you the really interesting, crazy part that's in my book. So if you find out today that you need a kidney transplant, which is 80% of the waiting list, the wait is around 7 years. Like I said, about 21 people a day die while waiting. 18 of them need kidneys. I can tell you right now that there are several countries in the world where you could go on a trip, and for $150,000 U.S., you could buy a kidney. If you got one that's a good match, and you took your medication, your immunosuppressant drugs, you could live a long and healthy life. So, you know, it's a lot of money, right? But a lot of people have that kind of money. What would you do? I think it's a tough choice. I think that for me, you know, I got two kids I want to be here for. But here's the last thing I'll say about this. The really tragic part is that when you make anything illegal and when there's scarcity, that causes the black market.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that people can't get kidneys through legitimate means is why there's a black market. It's now a billion-dollar global business. So a guy like New York Jack, the protagonist in my book, he sends rich Americans and Europeans overseas to go buy kidneys in places like South Africa and Brazil. You know what the seller gets in one of those places?
No.
You want to take a guess?
5%.
They wish. They get about, on average, they get about $1,000.
Wow.
So to someone in a shanty town in Johannesburg or in Moldova, that does seem like a lot of money. And it is, but it's not life changing. The other consequences are They don't get proper aftercare. Some die. Some get sick or crippled. There are places where even if you survive the surgery, you end up getting excommunicated or shunned from your communities for having done this thing that they're horrified by. Hmm. And these are the consequences, you know, the devastating consequences worldwide, you know, due to the organ shortage crisis in America. And by the way, if I could just put a quick plug in for the book, in my book, New York Jack deals mostly kidneys. But as the book, you know, kind of circles and comes towards its conclusion, he receives a proposition to source a heart. And for a $2 million commission, he's faced with the choice of participating in a murder.
Okay.
So Jack goes racing around the world to try to somehow seek redemption for the things that he's done.
Exit question, Stu. How much weigh-in is coming from the faith-based community on this issue?
You know, that's not a question I know a lot about. I guess my answer would be, like I said earlier, most religions are very supportive of organ donation. Pope John Paul II made specific comments that he thinks it would be very much in the spirit of Jesus and within the philosophy of Catholicism that you would help your fellow man and that organ donation is fully supported by the church. The Jewish community has sometimes been a little bit the other way. And there are Orthodox Jewish sects that think it's desecration of the body. For the most part, I think faith-based community generally pretty supportive of the idea of organ donation.
It's a fascinating topic, and it comes at an important time. And we appreciate you talking with us about it. Stu Strumwasser, the author of The Organ Broker, our guest today on WNDB's Mark Bernier program. Stu, all the best to you. Thanks so much for weighing in with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
All the best.